Well, you know, I started seed time and harvest. Remember what he said in Genesis 8, as long, 8:22, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. Cold and heat, summer, winter, day, night shall not cease. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not what? Mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. He that soweth of the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Say life. Suke zoza, soul life, mind, will, and emotion. Everlasting mind, will, and emotion. Living by the mind of another, emotion of another. And so we see, he told me that this year is a very special time now for you to start sowing right seeds. Be careful what you say, because it will bring forth, positive or negative. So I really want us to start concentrating, and I'm going to cover some more of that, and I'm going to go on with that today. And we see that, and I want to give you some examples of it. So let's turn, Father, thank you for your word, Matthew chapter 8, Jesus' name. Matthew 8:5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there met him a certain centurion beseeching him, saying, now see, he said something. Lord, my servant lieth home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to one man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he comes. To another servant, do this, and he doeth. When Jesus heard it, he marveled with adoration, struck with adoration. And he says, I have not found so great a faith. No, not in Israel. No what? Not in Israel. Now look, next verse. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east, the west, and sat down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The children of the kingdom shall be in outer darkness. What that means is at the banquet, when all the banqueting is going on, they'll be sitting outside in the dark watching. This verse is not talking about that other outer darkness. You know, the one that's hot? He does say that too. But this is not that verse. And so he said, I have not found so great a faith, not in Israel. And his servant was healed from that very hour. So we see that what Jesus is responding to. In Matthew 9:18, start there. Okay. All right, no. I guess I'm there. Okay, here we go. While he spake these things unto him, behold, a certain ruler came worship him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. Come and lay hands on her, and she shall live. What was his confession? You come, lay hands on her, and she shall be healed. You see the, what he's saying here? It's important what you say. And Jesus arose and followed him and his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased and had an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, touched the hem of his garment, and she said within herself. She said what? She said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Jesus turned about when he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Now, in Mark chapter 5, I think it is, verse 34, Jesus says, daughter, your faith has made you whole, and then be healed of your affliction, disease, or whatever. So there it is. See, look, daughter, your faith has made thee whole, go in peace, and be whole of your plague. See, the first whole is sozo. That's what we get after we're saved. She got it beforehand, because that's what she said. I'm going to be made whole if I can just touch him. But then he said, and by the way, be healed of your plague. Cool, isn't it? All right. Then Jesus turned, and then he goes on. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrel and the people making noise. He said, give place, the maid is not dead. What did he say? She's not dead. And it says, they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, He went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad. So we see so many times, and you go down, and when Jesus departed, two blind men followed him, saying, "Have mercy on us." And when they come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said, "Believe that I'm able to do this?" They was crying, "Lord, heal us." They said, "Yes, Lord." And he touched their eyes. "According to your faith, be it unto you." I'm telling you, I believe we're moving into another measure of faith. We're moving into another level of faith. I'm telling you. So you got to start seeing that what you say, expect what you say to come to pass. You know, yesterday when I was getting this message, I got home from the coffee shop and sat in my chair, and I started studying this. All of a sudden, my nose started running. I used over a half a box of Kleenex for about the next 2 hours, resisting this thing and telling it has no right in my life. I had to battle it all day. Sometimes you may have to battle more than a minute or two. But it ain't mine. God didn't give it to me. And that's why you have to say over and over like I did, "This is not mine. I'm not receiving this stuff," and go on. And so we're moving into that realm where we says that. All right. And I said in Matthew, let's go to Matthew 14. See, these are examples of people that said and Jesus said and it came to pass. Matthew 14 and verse 34. And when they were going over to, they came to the land of the Gennesaret, whatever that is. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that was diseased. When they heard he was coming, they went out and got everybody that was sick, said, "Come, be healed." Everybody that was sick, they heard he was coming, so they went and got everybody. And they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And it said, as many as touched him was made perfectly whole. Perfectly what? Whole. Because that's what they said. He had done it before. They saw it. They heard it. And they went out and got everybody sick. And they came and they were whole. Matthew chapter 15. Let's go over here in verse 21. And Jesus went thence, departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." And he answered not a word. And his disciples came and sought him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but to the lost sheep of house of Israel." Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs." And she said, what did she say? How many of you would have been a little offended at what he just said? If somebody called you a dog, would you be a little offended? She didn't get offended. She said, "Yes, Lord, truth. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it to you even as you will." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You can choose which way you want to go. I think that's so cool. Romans 10:13 says, and it's come to pass, whosoever shall what? Call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Made whole. Acts chapter 4. You know, they were told not to be preaching in the name of Jesus, and they got in trouble for it. But let's see where I want to start here. Verse 9. Okay. When they set them, verse 7, asked them, "By what power do you do this? And by what name?" Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said, "You rulers and people and elders of Israel, if this day you be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole." By this, filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter said, "Neither is in salvation any other, for there is no other name given in heaven whereby among where my men must be saved." Oh, and he said, "We cannot but," I'm down there, verse 20, "speak the things we've seen and heard." You know, we heard that saying, coffee shop, Those that say they can and those that say they can't are both right. Say it again. Those that say they can and those that say they can't are both right. So we need to see that for this year. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8 says, Jerusalem is ruined and Judah has fallen because their tongue and their doings were against the Lord to provoke the eyes of His glory. Their tongue and actions were against the Lord. I want to turn to Matthew chapter 12. Going back where we were. So why didn't you get it in order? I don't think in order. Oh, I'm sorry. Does anybody think in order? Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to go to verse 34. No? Okay. Verse 32 says, whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, what does it say? Speak against the Holy Ghost, will not be forgiven, neither in this world nor the world to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or either make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For a tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, when you see this, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they will give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Now see, what's the key? Your words are coming from somewhere. Where are they coming? Out of your heart. All right. And he says, that old heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. How can it speak good things? But we have a new heart. I've given you a new heart. Ezekiel 34:26. So be careful which one you're talking about. Remember what James said about out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. This ought not to be. He didn't say it wouldn't. How many of you know it can? And he said it shouldn't be that way, and because a tree is known by its fruit. And so, by your words, you'll be justified. And see, it's a heart issue. So your words, if you be risen with Christ, set your mind, your heart on things above, not on things of the earth. So I just tell you, it's so important. And I want y'all to help me. My wife helps me all the time with my confession, and I help her. But, all right, I just might as well read it while I'm here. All right, hold on. Where am I going? Okay, Psalms 141. Let me read this. Psalms 141, verse 3 in the Passion. God, give me the grace to guard my lips from speaking what's wrong. Guide me away from the temptation of doing evil. Save me from the sinful habits and from keeping company with those who are experts in evil. Help me not to share in their sin in any way. When one of your godly lovers corrects me, or one of your faithful one rebukes me, I will accept it like an honor I cannot refuse. It will be healing medicine that I can swallow without an offended heart. Now, we need to help each other. I remember we was in the coffee shop, and it happens on a pretty regular basis. Give me an amen, Dennis. When we get through reading something good, politics comes up. It just floats to the surface. It is astounding how politics just, why? Because that's all you hear out there. And Marion was sitting down there and he said, hey, I hear this all the time. I don't want to hear that. Let's go somewhere else. And I appreciate him because he's what, kind of black and white? And they've heard that from me enough, but it's just natural. It just floats up. But what he's saying is, if one of your faithful ones rebukes you or your godly ones you love corrects you, accept it and take that. And it says, without getting an offended heart. So, saints, we got to help each other talk right. Now, every idle word, idle means unemployed. It means a vain talk. Now, every idle word that comes forth, he says, you're going to give account of, because Listen, we're responsible for our words. But an idle word is a word that comes out of that other heart. It's incapable of producing good fruit. So it's unemployed in the kingdom. It cannot produce good fruit, right? Because it's coming out of the wrong source. So I really believe that's what he's showing us. And we don't need to get offended at each other when we say, hey, let's watch what we're saying. Remember that, Dennis? Help me out there. Help me. Okay. But you remember last week, talked about sowing and reaping. Now, I just want to cover this again. In Acts chapter 15, when they was talking about whether or not they should keep the Passover, I'm in the wrong book, and circumcision, they came together to consider the thing. And Acts chapter 15, verse 15, they came and taught the brethren, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, verse 1, you cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension with them, and we can understand why, they went to talk to the apostles and prophets there. And it says, verse 6, and the apostles and elders came together to consider the matter. And when there was much disputing, Peter rose up and said, now listen, Peter, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Remember when Peter was preaching? He said, and while Peter was yet preaching to them, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And Peter said, he gave the same thing to us that we have, and they didn't have to do anything about it. And he put no difference between us purifying their hearts by faith. And says, don't put a yoke on their neck. We believe that through the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to be saved just like we are. And they gave audience to Paul and Barnabas, all the miracles that happened among the Gentiles. And after this, it says that James spoke up, verse 13. And he said to them, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out a people for his name's sake. And this agrees the words of the prophets as it is written. After this, I will return and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build the ruins thereof and set it up, that the residue of the men might seek after the Lord and the Gentiles, of whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who does these things. All right, as we go back to Amos, where this was spoken of, and I want to go back to Amos chapter 5, and I'm just going to read some of these. Verse 1 in Amos, the Lord God showed me a hold of a basket of summer fruit. He said, Amos, what do you see? And he said, I see a basket of fruit. Then said the Lord, the end has come upon my people Israel. The what? I will not again pass by them anymore. The songs of their temple shall be howlings in the day, saith the Lord, when there shall be many dead bodies in every place, and will cast them forth in silence. Hear this, O ye that... Now, catch the why. Hear this, ye that swallow up the needy, even make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephraim small and the shekel great, falsifying the balance by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes. Yea, sell the refuge, the chaff of the wheat, it says. And the Lord has sworn by his excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. So we see where we're going here. And then he says, the land's going to tremble for this. And it says, verse 9, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. Now, I was talking to John about this. When Jesus was crucified at noon, it was dark from 12 o'clock to 3. And it says, and it will darken the earth in a clear day. And then I will turn your feast into mournings, all your songs into lamentations, and I'll bring sackcloth upon you, and even baldness. Uh-oh. And I will make it as a morning only sun. The end thereof shall be a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll send a famine, not for bread or water, but for hearing the word of the Lord. And they will wander to and fro, and they'll be scattered. All right. Chapter 9. All right. We go down here to verse 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon that sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the face of the earth, saving, I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among the nations, everywhere. And it says, and ye shall not the least grain fall upon the earth, and all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, for the evil shall overtake and not prevent. Now listen, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that's fallen. I'll close the breaches thereof and raise up the ruins, and I will build as in the days of old. Now, when did that happen? James says it happened after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost was poured out on all the Gentiles too. That's when this happened. That's what James said. So, you see how all these things are tying together? And listen to this. This is where I was going down here. That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the heathen which are called by my name. That's you. Say, that's us. Which are called by my name, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him that sows the seed, and the mountains shall drop with, that's grape juice in the Hebrew if you really want to know, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel. They shall build the waste cities, inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall make the gardens and eat the fruit. And I will plant them in their own land, and they will no more be pulled up out of the land which I have given to them, saith the Lord. All right. But my point here, I asked the Lord, what is this, the plowman overtake the reapers? And it's just like we just read through the scriptures where Jesus spoke something and it happened. People spoke something and it happened. We've moved into a new covenant that doesn't just operate by the principle of sowing and reaping. It is a principle that when you speak it, it happens. It takes away all the thing in between of plowing and watering, and so it doesn't mean that that's not going to happen. It is going to happen, but there's going to be both happening. So when you speak things, expect it to happen right then. It's going to be not either or, it's going to be both. Watch what you say. You remember I said last week, if God told you everything that you speak from this moment on is going to come to pass, would it change the way you talked? It would. We need to change the way we speak. What does it say in Ephesians? Let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth, but that which good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And by the way, next, and don't grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Your words, our words can offend and grieve the Holy Spirit. Because he's a what kind of spirit? Holy Spirit. Coffee shop, I have to remind the guys sometimes, we got a plaque hanging on the wall that says this is a Holy Ghost coffee shop. Sometimes I have to mention it, Dennis Dona, that this is a Holy Ghost coffee shop. So be careful what you say. Amen? And so we're seeing that we're living in this time where what you say is going to be so important, and that we need to watch our words. And am I making any sense? Okay. All right. You know, in Romans 10, it says, with the heart, man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Joel says delivered. With the heart, you believe into righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made into salvation. He says, for whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. Amen? We've got to start believing more, believing what this scripture tells us, acting on it. I really think you're going to be shocked. You know, I fully believe when she sat right there and spoke to us and said what's going to happen, I believe you're going to see it happen. I don't believe we're just going, well, I hope it does. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't say anything out loud. All she did was say in her heart. Come on now. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Proverbs 18 says, well, we'll get there in a minute. Where's it at? There it is. Proverbs 18:20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. 24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Proverbs 11:11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. How many people, instead of sitting around talking about all the junk's going on in the city, how many times are we blessing the city? What did Jesus say? Bless and curse not. If your enemy hungry, feed him. If somebody does something to you, bless them. How many of you know the old man can't do that? But the new man can. Bless and curse not. Out of the same mouth, James said, proceeds blessing and cursing. We're not here to curse. We're here to bless. Our job is to be a blessing and to bless and not curse. Give me an amen. Amen. Proverbs 12. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Let me read that again. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Can you just take that verse and see what it says? You're going to be blessed by what you say. All right, now I'm telling you, we're going to start seeing this happen and taking this stuff serious. 12:18, there is that speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is what? Health. Proverbs 13:2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. How come? You think Solomon learned this through the things he suffered? I think he did. Acts 5, you know, when they locked him up for preaching in the name of Jesus, and they locked him in prison. The angel came, got him out of prison, and they met the next morning, going to chew them all out, and they went to get him. They was gone. So they had to go to the temple and find him preaching again after they just told him not to. And the angel opened the door of the prison, said to them in Acts 5, 42 there, says, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. What is our job? To preach the words of life, not death. Because the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. We have no business going back there anymore. Because we are a new creature. Amen? Give me an amen. Go preach all the words of this life. Whew. Good master, what should we do to do the works of God? He said the work of God is to believe into me that he sent. Believe me. That's our job, to believe. Words I speak, Jesus said in John 12, 44 to 50, there somewhere. He just said, I'm not going to judge you. Think not that I'm going to judge you in that day. He says, the words that I have spoken to you, the same will judge you in that day. The words that I have spoken has already brought judgment, he said. Okay? Deuteronomy 18:19, he says, talking about Moses, said, I'm going to put my words in his mouth, and he will speak unto you all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto his words, which I shall speak in, he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Okay. All right, I'm going to read Isaiah. I know I'm not going to get through, but I'm going to read Isaiah. No, this ain't Isaiah. Here's Isaiah in the Passion. Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, this is a passion, so Rod, you can't go there. I clearly saw the Lord. He was seated on the exalted throne, towering high above. His long flowing robes of splendor spread throughout the temple. Standing above him were angels of flaming fire. Each had six wings, and two wings they covered their face and did reverence. With two wings they covered their feet, and with two wings they flew, and one called out, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, commander of the angel armies. The whole earth is filled with his glory. The thundering voice of the fiery angels called foundations of the threshold to tremble as clouds of the glory fill the temple. Then I stammered and said, woe is me. I'm destroyed, doomed as a sinful man. For my words are tainted, and I live among a people who talk the same way. King Yahweh commanded the angel armies, my eyes have gazed upon him. Then out of the smoke came one of the angels with fire, flew to me. He had in his hands a burning coal he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my lips and said, see, the burning coal from the altar has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is blotted. Your sin is blotted. Amen. The Holy Ghost and what? Fire. Then I heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send to my people? Who will go represent us? I spoke up and said, I'm the one, send me. Then he said, go tell this people. You keep listening but understand nothing. You keep watching but learn nothing. Go preach a message that will make their hearts dull, their ears plugged, their eyes blind. Otherwise, their eyes will begin to see, their ears will begin to hear, and their hearts will begin to understand, and they will return to me for healing and be healed. You know, when Jesus said, I'm not sure where the verse is, he says, for judgment have I come into this world, that they that see not might see, and they that think they see might be made blind. And the Pharisees said, are we blind? And Jesus said, because you say you have no sin, your blindness remains. And see, he comes so that we might see. And Jesus spoke that parable in Matthew 13 to the disciples. I speak this way because their eyes have they closed, their ears have they closed, and their hearts they have hardened, lest at any time they hear, see, and understand and be healed. So see, it's a matter of healing and understanding what he's done. And then I said, how long, Lord? He said, until their houses and cities are destroyed and uninhabited and their land desolate, wasteland, until the Lord has exiled them to distant country. What did we just read in Amos? It's exactly what happened right there. They were scattered everywhere. And he says, even if the tent remain, there will be burned again. It will be like a falling oak or something tree, timber tree, which is fell. The stump still lives to grow again. Now the stump is the holy seed. His footnote here, the two trees mentioned here, the oak and the Tibrith, or whatever it is, grow in the Middle East. They both have the power to produce new shoots, even when cut down to the stump. The seed of his holiness is its stump. The stump is the sacred seed. Isaiah used the word seed 25 times. This is not the end, it's the beginning. Give me an amen. Ooh, God always has a remnant people, even in the time of judgment. But today, true believers have the holy seed within them, Christ, for they have been born from above. Note, and then, and that's where in Job it says, did I write that down? Job, it says, if the stump in the ground decays and dies and decays in the earth, at the scent of rain, it will bud. I'm telling you, just the scent of rain. We are new creatures. We're not, what he's saying is, don't expect it to be all natural. Expect the supernatural to start being, the church is supernatural from start to finish. We don't have to give in to the old ways things ought to be. We are new creatures, brand new living creatures. Woo! Amen. Okay. Yeah, Casey, here it is, Job 14:7. For there is hope in a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth a plant. Come on. Holy ground. See, we have a living holy seed within us. Remember in Isaiah 53, verse 10, I think it is, says, God shall see his seed and be satisfied. Though he what? Be. Isaiah, I think it's Isaiah 53, 10. Please God to crush him, to make his soul an offering for sin. God shall see the travail of his soul, and he said, and see his seed and be satisfied. He'll see his seed and be satisfied. Say, that's me. God saw it, and Jesus said in John 12:24, except that wheat, kernel of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. He that saveth his soul will lose it, but he that loses that old rascal, gives it a decent burial, will have a new one. Woo! So, life, Zoe life, I've said it so many times, it's not just life. It's soul life. It's the God kind of life. We have the God kind of nature in us. New creation. God's kind of nature is in us through that new soul. We have a new mind, new will, new emotion. And that means we can speak from a new mouth. Amen? Now, I know James says the tongue no man can tame. But I want to tell you something. We got other tongues that God give us another tongue so we can learn to talk right. If you can't say it right with the old one, just talk in tongues. And you know you're always doing right because it will speak only the things of God. So if you get frustrated and can't talk right, just speak in tongues. You, beloved, building yourself up on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Woo! Keep yourself in the love of God. Amen? All right. We'll stop right there for today. I want to read you the Psalms 91. Jenna's going to, you can come on up while I read this. Psalms 91, New Men Confessions. He that is dwelling in union in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say, confess, O Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him I trust. Surely He has delivered me from the snare of the fowler and from all disease. I am covered with His feathers. Under His wings I safely trust. His truth and faithfulness are my sword and shield. I'm not afraid of the terror at night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the disease that walks in darkness, nor the destruction of noonday. Listen, 1,000 might fall at my side or 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come near me. So you hear the confession here? Only with my eyes shall I behold and receive the reward of the wicked. Because I'm in union with the Most High, and He's my refuge, my habitation, there can no evil get close to me, neither shall any sickness come near my home. For He has given His angels charge over me to keep me and mine in all our ways. His angels will lift me up in their hands so that I don't stumble and fall. I have power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. I have set my love upon Him. Therefore, He says, He will deliver me, set me on high, seat me together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I need His help, He's in union with me and will deliver me from all evil and share His glory with me. With long life will He satisfy me and show me His full salvation. It's your confession. John G. Leck said, when I saw the promises of Isaiah 40, 91, he said, I never had another sick day in my life. Now that's the kind of attitude we got to start having. We got to start believing what Jesus said. We got to start seeing it because healing is just as much a part of our salvation as forgiveness of sins. There is no difference. We need to start treating them the same way and believe that what He says He's done, He's done. And you may have to battle a few battles like the rest of us, but it's a fight that's already been won. Amen?